fucking independence in Taiwan, which actually called Sugar Creek, fucking Missouri. I'm going to blow you away on Twitch, you bad habit fucking piece of fucking garbage.
Live from the evolutionary.org basement headquarters. This is evolution.org Raw Podcast.
We just ruined your whole goddamn week.
We got your host, Steve Smee, and the Mason, where we come to you straight with our Q&A. No bullshit, just raw, hardcore, uncensored.
Here's what the problem is. The problem is you called a psychopath. I'm an officer, fucking peace in my driveway. You come here and I'll blow your fucking head off. Come on down. Well, you guys, good luck trying to kill me and everything, and I wish the best to you and everybody else that sure tries, and I apologize ahead of time for your families and people who know you about your death, and it was self-defense, and I've already been given a fucking license to carry a gun at all times in the last 2 days, and I have been instructed if I feel like I'm in danger to take the fucking heads off, so you called the wrong motherfucker.
Hey, what's up, guys? We have a great show ahead tonight. The Mason is in the house, too, and we're going to start off with a relationship question.
You know, anytime we get to record live in the basement, it makes me happy, so I'm glad to be here tonight. So here's the relationship question we got. It was an email to me, and it says, "Hi, Steve and Matt. You guys seem like you really know a lot about steroids, so I wanted to ask a question. My husband has used in the past, and the only thing I've noticed with him is a better body. He has ran steroids at different times over the past 4 years. I don't ask any questions and just let him do his thing. He mentioned to me that he's going to be using something called Trenbolone this time, which he has never used. He basically warned me that he might turn into a different person. I'm really worried about this. Can you elaborate more on what to expect? Is this a danger to my relationship?" So, good question. She definitely came to the right place, so I'm glad she sent the email in. You know, this is something that everybody's going to have a different experience, and a lot of it depends on the person, a lot of it depends on the dose, it depends on how happy you are in the relationship. There's a whole lot of factors that go into it, but just the basic, the bare bones of it is, it's extremely androgenic, and when steroids are androgenic, those effects are the things that make us men. It's not the part that makes us build muscle, per se. It's the part that makes us have a sex drive and get hairy and those kind of things. That's the effects. It can cause aggression, and when you hear about roid rage, I don't tend to necessarily believe in it. As a general principle, but Trenbolone, if anything, is the one that can cause it. It can make you more aggressive. It can make you more of an ass. You know, you can be a dick for no reason. You can be short-tempered. So I think the things to watch out for are those exact things. Is he being short with you? Is he being, you know, snappy for no reason at all? But I would say, step back and take a look at what he's like normally and go from there. Because if he's normally a pretty good guy, a pretty chilled out guy, he's probably not going to turn into a complete dickhead. And, you know, like this, I'm kind of taking a leap here, but I think the fact that he's bringing this up and that he's been open about everything else makes me believe he's, you know, got some respect for you, that he probably is a pretty decent person. The fact that he's giving you a heads up, hey, you know, if you notice it, it's not me. You know, you have to take accountability. Yeah, it is still you. So you really have to, you know what you're doing. You have to be experienced. You have to, you know, run a proper dose and not go crazy. But, you know, cut him a little slack on one hand, but on the other hand, don't let him just use it as a crutch and, you know, let him get away with what he wants. Steve, what advice would you give her?
My advice to her is load up on the lube because you're going to need it. No, I'm just kidding. Basically, you'll probably notice
depending if he's used it before, maybe a little more impatient. If he's an impatient person, expect him to become more impatient. If he's cranky when he doesn't eat, expect him to be more cranky. You know, little things like that. It's very important as a woman, when you're dating a guy who's using steroids, to accept, you know, if the guy knows what he's doing, to trust him that he will make, you know, make good by you. But if he doesn't know what he's doing and he's one of these idiots who just hops on steroids with no clue, then you have every reason to be concerned about it. So I feel that most people who use steroids don't know what they're doing. They have no business using them. So I would, you know, have to think about that, you know, in your situation to see. But, you know, Trend is a relationship killer for a reason, because it causes your dopamine levels to fluctuate a lot. Any addictions that you might have, you know, are going to be magnified. So if he has some sort of sex addiction or something, and he's not getting that satisfaction from you, that's the time where he's going to go somewhere else to get it. So you got to keep that in mind. Trend makes you do things as a man that you're not going to do in normal situations. So it kind of makes the situation tougher, I would say. So I would, you know, listen to him for sure. If he wants something sexually that you don't usually do, I would listen to him and be a little open about it. Like, you know, because in those situations, he may like decide, hey, I'm going to cheat. You know, I'm going to go get it somewhere else. I'm going to satisfy my craving somewhere else. So it does kind of change you in that aspect because of the androgen. So you kind of feel like as a guy, you know, that you're like 15 or 16 again. It's that whole, like, you're just going bonkers at that age because you're hitting that sexual, your hormones are changing and you're hitting that sexual peak. Because as men, we peak sexually in our late teens, and women tend to peak sexually in their 30s, you know? So you've got to kind of put yourself in his situation, what he's probably going through. So it boils down to, does this guy know what he's doing? He's experienced. You know, the best thing that he can do if he's going to run Trend is run a low dosage, because the more you run of it, the more things are going to get amplified. So I would basically, you know, communicate, make sure everything's good. And, you know, if he does know what he's doing, then, you know, go ahead and trust him. But if he doesn't know what he's doing, it's definitely a concern for sure. Because I would have a concern if I was dating someone or married to someone who wanted to use a PED or a drug or anything, and they didn't know what they were doing. I mean, I'd be upset as a guy. So there's no reason for you not to be upset either. So it boils down to, does this guy know what he's doing?
Yeah, and to bring it back more to the relationship side of it, I think the key, and Steve used the word communicate, that's going to be the key here, because he started it by communicating to you what he was going to do and that there could be some potential side effects to be aware of. So you need to, you know, for your own sake and for his, you need to continue that communication and don't be afraid to call it out. If he's being a dick, you know, 6 weeks into this thing, you need to tell him, hey, you know, like, I know you warned me about it, and I'm telling you right now, this is what you're doing. You don't need to get all pissed off about it. I get it. But you need to take that step back and realize, you know, it's still not okay to treat me like that if it gets to that, right? Don't let him just walk all over you if it gets to that point. It shouldn't. You know, it should never get to that point. There's no excuse for that kind of behavior, but you really need to keep it open. Don't be afraid to call it out. The other thing, you know, not necessarily as severe, you know, but the other things to be aware of are, you know, sleep. Sleep could be an issue for him. He could have trouble getting to sleep. He could toss and turn. He could wake up in the middle of the night, you know, soaking wet from sweat. Those are things to be aware of too. So don't freak out. It just kind of happens. It's part of the territory when you're going to use something like Tren. So just, you know, be aware of it and keep the communication. And I think, you know, you'll get through it fine. It's not for everyone since this is his first go, you know, it's kind of an experiment. You'll see how it goes for both of you. And then, you know, make the decision after that. If it's something he's ever going to do again, it may be, it may not be, you know, you kind of see it both ways. Some people, once they use it, they can never do anything else without it. And some people decide that's a little bit much for me. I'd rather sleep at night. It's a little bit, you know, too, makes me too emotional, whatever. So, you know, just keep the open communication. Steve, you want to add anything else or I'll move on to our cycle question?
No, I mean, you can definitely move on. But my advice is, you know, don't marry someone without them being aware that you use steroids, because then you won't be in these types of situations. You see what I'm saying? And if this is the first time he's using steroids, like I said, Trent is not a good choice for a first cycle anyway. So I would hope he was experienced. So there's a lot of, you know, things that you need to do before you get married when it comes to this type of stuff.
Okay, so for our fix my cycle question here, we're going to break it up into two topics here. So we'll just cover each of them a little bit. The one is a cycle to actually go through. The other one is I just want to have a general discussion about this SARMS Control Act of 2018 that's about to pass in the U.S. And we can just kind of, you know, bounce around. What does it mean? You know, what's the future of SARMs? Does anything change? Are they, you know, really bad and that's why they're going to be illegal and everything else? So I thought, you know, we could kind of go through both. So why don't I lay out the cycle first and we can talk about it. I had a chance to look at it. It's interesting. So the guy, he's very experienced with lifting. It's really long, which is why I'm not going to read this whole thing for you guys. So he's lifted for years. He's 32 right now. His goals are, he likes the bulked up power lifter look. So he says not as in fat big, but as in thick big. So it doesn't sound like he's too concerned about, you know, having six pack abs, but he doesn't want to look like a slob either. He just kind of likes the mass. So those are his goals. He's healthy otherwise. Like, his stats are good. Everything looks decent. He's got blood work beforehand to show he's healthy. So this is his cycle, and then we can kind of, you know, make some recommendations here. So he wants to run 16 weeks, Sustanon, 500 milligrams a week, 12 weeks, Nandrolone blend at 300 milligrams. So this Nandrolone blend is supposed to be the exact same blend that the Sustanon is. So the theory here is you run them together and the esters are picking up one after another on both compounds at the exact same time. So I thought that was kind of cool. So he wants to run that 12 weeks, 300 milligrams a week. He's going to run D-ball. Now, he's not sure. He's going to do it weeks 1 to 10, but he's not sure if he's going to run 25 milligrams per day 20 milligrams per day of the regular oral version, or if he's going to run 25 milligrams four times a week injectable. So he's kind of debating those two. He's not a fan of orals because of the liver toxicity. He clearly states that. So we'll factor that into the response here. He's going to run 50 milligrams of Proviron per day for 16 weeks. 750 IUs HCG from weeks 1 to 16, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So 250 each of those days. Sorry, 750 for the week, 250 Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then he's got a whole long list of support supplements here. Basically, it's a bunch of individual ingredients like NAC, milk thistle, coenzyme Q10, thing, like really good supplements. So, and he's on TRT. test sip 125 milligrams every 10 days. So it's nice to see an actual real TRT dose instead of these crazy doses. So the cycle, like, it's interesting to me. I don't really have a problem with it. I would just run, you know, the two compounds, both either 12 or both 16 weeks. I think 16 is probably a bit long, but I don't think you need to run test longer like some people think. So that's kind of the first thing that I would change with the D-ball. That's going to be the interesting part. So they are both liver toxic. So don't think that one's not. The injectable is going to be less liver toxic because it does skip that first pass. So you're a little bit safer there. I don't know, Steve, if you've ever run injectable D-ball. It's not something I've ever used. So the idea of him using it as a pre-workout, I don't know if that makes sense or not. That's just something I'm not sure about. The oral version, 20 milligrams a day, perfectly fine dose. I wouldn't run it 10 weeks. I'd run it 4. I think that's more than enough. You got a little bit of short esters kicking in, so it's not like you have to run it forever. But I mean, overall, that part of the cycle seems decent. The HCG, I don't think it's necessary in any cycle, really. The cycle's not that crazy to begin with. So I don't think it's needed there. Steve, I want to get your take on the D-ball, though, before I go any further. What do you think about those two options he gave us?
Well, I'll tell you, DECA and D-ball, they do a couple things for you. They make you feel good. They increase your mood. They also increase your appetite. So if this guy, his goal is, like you said at the start, just to be a big, bulky, you know, weightlifter, powerlifter type of guy, then that's a good option for him. But my advice is, if you're going to run DECA and D-ball, you need to run Proviron with it as well. And we talked about why in prior podcasts. So you want to cover all your bases. Make sure you're running an AI. I understand, you know, your goals aren't to be shredded or whatever, but you don't want estrogen problems. You don't want to have gynecomastia, bitch tits. You don't want to have your blood pressure skyrocket. You don't want to have, you know, insomnia problems. You don't want to be tired all day, because that's what's going to happen if you're retaining so much water. So I would not run the D-ball at a high dose. I'd only run the D-ball at 10 or 20 milligrams a day. That's it. And then run the DECA at whatever dose you want. Let the DECA do all the work. 400, 500, 600 milligrams a week. And you should get some really good results with that. It's a very popular DECA is a very popular steroid. Ask any big power lifters that are in their 50s or early 60s at your gym, you know, the big guys, and they'll say that DECA is their favorite steroid. But now nobody likes DECA anymore, because everybody's wants to look lean and have that aesthetic look. So people don't run all touch DECA anymore. But DECA definitely is a great option. And it's going to boil down to diet. Eat clean, but eat. You got to be eating. And, you know, if you love food, that's and those are your goals, then eat away. I mean, don't be scared to eat, for sure. But it will definitely boost your appetite. So you should be eating a lot on DECA. When I ran DECA and D-ball, man, I would, I'd be eating so much. I mean, I'd wake up in the morning, have like a burger. I go work out, come home, have another burger. It was just insane, the appetite that I had. It was a nonstop hunger. So if that's your goal, definitely, you can definitely reach your goals on that.
You know, it's funny, too, guys back in the day that ran DECA all the time, they never had dick problems, but everybody today does. It's just funny how that happens, and we've talked about it before. Steve mentioned running Proviron. In old cycles, they ran it all the time, every single cycle. That was a staple, and guys are hopefully starting to learn now again that, you know, how important that really is. You know, you need that DHT when you're going to run an Andrelone like that. So Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty interesting cycle. I'm interested to hear if he gets the results he wants, because it's a little bit tricky. You know, when you just want to bulk up and do that dirty bulk and get huge, that's easy. You know, that's not hard, guys. This guy is going to have an appetite. You know, he's going to, after the gym, want to eat everything. But to get big but not add a ton of fat, it's going to be tricky. It's a fine line to do that. So I'm interested to hear how he goes. So why don't we transition to the second part of the cycle question? And that's just this idea of this new law that's supposed to be passed. Steve, I'll let you hit it first. I know, you know a lot about SARMs. You've used them in the past. Like, what's going on here? Is this something where, you know, government wants their hands, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are fighting, or are SARMs really dangerous and they shouldn't be on the market? What are you thinking?
Well, it's not the pharmaceutical companies that are the main problem here. It's the supplement companies. And Orrin Hatch, who's a senator from Utah, good old Orrin Hatch, Utah's number one industry is supplements. So he obviously wants to eliminate competition to supplements. And by banning SARMs, that's a big, big way to kind of level the playing field. So it kind of takes out the competition to supplements. So now, guys, it would be illegal to use SARMs. It's already illegal to use steroids. So now the only legal option for performance enhancing is going to be supplements. So that's more money for the supplement industry. But he's been a war hawk on this for many, many years. And so that's the crux of it. The thing is, no matter who's president, it's going to still pass. So because it's going to be part of a bill, and since it's got bipartisan support in Congress, they'll just slip it into any bill and go through. And since Orrin Hatch is in the majority, he's a Republican, and the Republicans run the House and Senate, he's basically able to kind of put it in there into any bill. It could be a bill giving veterans health care, or it could be a bill doing, you know, anything, you know, and he could just slip it in as part of it. And then, you know, the president signs it and boom, SARMs are now illegal. So it's going to happen at some point. Even if Trump is impeached and or he quits or whatever, it doesn't matter who the president is, because, like I said, it's going to be part of some sort of spending bill or something. And really, if you really want to stop this bill, you need to basically vote Orrin Hatch out of office, assuming they don't pass it. And I'm not sure when he comes up for re-election, and I don't think he would lose anyway, so it's pretty much going to happen. So you guys got to accept it out there. Stock up on SARMs while they're legal. And, you know, when they're banned, they're banned. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. So there's no point in stressing out over it. There's no point in bitching about it. That's just the way it is. So, you know, we move on. There's all kinds of things that are banned. There's rules change. There's laws passed. You've got to adjust and you got to move on. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And another reason why it'll pass is because even take all the people in the House, in the Senate, they don't even know what SARMs are. These guys have no clue what they are. Ask somebody on the street what it is. Ask somebody in your gym what it is. Even the big guys, most of them have no idea what this shit is. So, you know, who's going to put up a fight about it? Nobody. You know, the same thing happened back in the day with pro-hormones. You know, everybody on the forums and that tried to sign, you know, petitions. It doesn't matter. You know, these things will get put through. Now, my opinion, it doesn't matter, to be honest. There's already been tons of issues with companies trying to sell SARMs. They're gray area. You know, they're research chemicals, really. They're not really for, they're not really for human consumption. They're not dietary supplements. in most places in the world. And the thing is, you know, MasterCard doesn't want any part of that. Visa doesn't want any part of that. PayPal doesn't want to get involved in that. So how do you sell them? That started to become the issue. So what I've seen is most of these, you know, legitimate SARMs companies are already underground anyways because they were having too many problems dealing with payment. So it's easier for them to just go underground. So that's all it's going to be, guys. It's going to be that you could still get them. You'll still be able to get them. You'll just have to get them like you would steroids. And you know what? They're going to be expensive. They already are, but they're going to be expensive. You're asking for something that's, you know, going to increase your performance and give you literally almost zero side effects at all. You know, yeah, no estrogen issues to worry about, none of that shit. So, you know, they're mild, but they're effective. So, of course, you're going to pay a premium for something like that. You know, it's not like, you know, you get a bottle of testosterone and, you know, you can get gyno or, you know, blood pressure problems, cholesterol is out of control. You know, you don't really have to worry about that stuff with SARMs. So, you know, they're always going to be a premium product, but I don't think it's anything to panic about. I think you'll still find them out there. If you're in the U.S., though, after this, I wouldn't buy anything in a supplement store. I wouldn't buy it, you know, in a capsule legally because they're not going to be able to be sold legally that way. The last thing I would say, be very, very cautious of people claiming to have SARMs. You know, like same thing happened with pro hormones. Everybody got scammed. It still happens. You know, that bill passed in 2014. And we're 4 years later and guys still are trying to say, oh, you know, I got three bottles of Epistane left from the ban I'm trying to sell. You know, don't trust that shit, guys. Like, you're smarter than that. Don't let people scam you by saying they have SARMs. They stocked up before the ban and they're just trying to sell them. It's going to be a scam. You know, you're going to get sugar pills or you're going to get nothing at all. So just be cautious. Don't be stupid. All right, Steve, what do you got? You got some good topics today, I know. So let's let them hear it.
So the diet question of the day is, what is the perfect diet for health? For health, for building lean muscle, for being lean, what is the perfect diet? And so here's the diet that I've been on. And it kind of flies in the face of what people are being taught, you know, by these fitness gurus and social media guys and all this stuff. And, you know, so anyone can do this type of diet, all right? No matter your genetics, you'll still get good results doing this diet. So my view is fats should be higher than what the cookie cutter 40-20-20, you know, 40, you know, protein, 20 carb, 20 fat. I think fat, the macros on fat should be higher. I think the macros on protein should be lower. And I think carbs should be right around 20%, maybe a little more, okay? So the type of diet that I have been following, okay, it's been really good to me. My cholesterol levels are down like 60 points. I'm lean, I'm mean, I'm strong, I'm muscular. And that is basically a lot of omega-3 fats, nuts, seeds. Make sure when you buy these nuts and seeds, you don't get them in the packages from like the supermarket or the gas station or something, because they're full of oil. So when you get nuts and you look at the ingredients, it should just say, if you're getting almonds, it should just say almonds. If you're getting cashews, it should just say cashews. Okay? It shouldn't say, you know, palm oil or, you know, whatever they add to it. Oil, nuts, salt, all this other crap they add to it. Because now you're defeating the purpose. Now you're getting omega-6 oils. We don't want omega-6. We want omega-3. So plain nuts, they need to be plain nuts. You can find a health food store that sells them or order them online. Avocado, that's a good fat. wild fatty fish like mackerel or tuna or, you know, those types of fish, those are what you want, not farm-raised. Vegetables, green leafy vegetables that are not like cabbage, no large spinach. You get baby spinach. Lettuce, romaine, those types of vegetables. Fruits, cucumbers, melons, berries, tropical fruits like mango, papaya. And you don't want to mess with bananas. Bananas have a very low water content. You want a high water content fruits. So that should be your diet. You really need to cut back on the chicken. You know, everyone's eating chicken all the time. Cut back on the chicken. I'd reduce it quite a bit. Grass-fed beef is good. Maybe once every 2 weeks, you can have some grass-fed beef. That's really good. You're getting your B12 with there. So that's pretty much it. So your meats, grass-fed beef, very little in moderation. Wild fatty fish twice a week. And then the rest of your diet should be plain nuts, plain seeds, watery vegetables, watery fruits. And that diet and just drinking water. You don't want to drink beverages like tea, coffee, you know, sports drinks, anything like that. Just drink water. And that diet, anybody listening to this who's overweight, who's out of shape, who's having health problems, just go on that diet, trust me, and you will have tremendous results. That is the perfect diet, in my opinion, for anybody to use if you want to build muscle, lose fat, get healthier. Matt, what do you think is the perfect diet?
The first thing, if you want a perfect diet, is your liquids. Commit to only drinking water. That's it. Nothing else. You know, can things like coffee help to lose weight? Sure. If your goal is to lose weight, there's nothing wrong with adding, you know, coffee into a routine. But when we're talking about just the healthiest overall diet, if you commit to only drinking water, that would be the first thing and would make the biggest difference. You know, if you're somebody that's not healthy, just to try to live a healthy lifestyle, that's it. Then if you want to look at, you know, if we break it down by your macros, if you want to look at carbs, so the perfect diet, I would say you would want to get all your carbs, 90% of them, from fruits and vegetables. There's no need for anything else. Again, we'll leave a little bit of leeway there depending on your goals around your workouts. You know, if you want to add in something, I'll say it's going to be a single ingredient food. You know, so if you want to pick either oatmeal or sweet potato, something like that, rice. I'm not talking about oatmeal with, you know, in the package with all the stuff mixed in, single ingredient foods. So that would be your carb sources. Protein probably, and you can kind of group the protein and fat together here on this one, because I would say your main protein source would be eggs. I think that's going to be the healthiest and that's going to be the overall best, because you're going to get all the good fats in and you're going to get, you know, plenty of protein in if you go with eggs. I think Steve made a good point about, you know, other sources of protein, whether it's chicken, grass-fed beef, fish. You really have to be selective, and you don't need as much as people are telling you. People tell you to eat more than you need because they want you to buy protein powder, and then they want you to run out, and then they want you to buy another tub. So really, you have to look at what your actual requirements are. And then I think, you know, Steve kind of gave you the good choices for fats. You know, they're going to be avocados, fatty fish, nuts. Just be careful of the butters. You know, peanut butter is not a bodybuilder food as much as people want to say it is. There's much better options out there. So be careful if you're going to get a spread like that. Look at something like natural almond butter. You can get a macadamia nut butter that's going to be better. Things like that, if you really, you know, you really need those extra calories, you really need to increase the fat, go for that. But I think that's it. But just going back to the beginning, I think if you base it, the first decision is the commitment to just drink water. I think that's the first step to what, you know, I would call a perfect diet.
Next topic is split routine ideas. So let me go through a couple split routine ideas and I'll let Matt come up with ones that he likes. So you have the most popular one, it seems, is the push-pull legs. Advantages, disadvantages. The advantage of the push-pull legs is it's fun. It's very easy to do. So basically, the example would be Monday, you do pushing exercises. Wednesday, you do pulling exercises. Thursday, you do legs. Saturday, you go back to push. You know, Sunday, you can do pull, and on and on. You know, you can do every other day where you, you know, change the, you know, alternate, or you can do, you know, every day, or you could do every 3 days, whatever. Or you could do every, you know, 2 days, and then the next day do the other split. So there's no really rule, but you're kind of alternating. The disadvantage, though, of the push-pull split is you're going from push to pull, right? And a lot of people tend to overtrain their shoulders. So you do pushing, you'll do bench press, militaries, incline, tricep exercises, whatever. And the next day you do the pull downs, the rows, you know, biceps and all this stuff. And in the process, you're really overtraining your shoulders. You're hitting your shoulders too much when you do that. So what are some ways for those who feel like they're overtraining their shoulders besides kind of abandoning, you know, these shoulder workouts? And that is, you could switch to a two-day split, which is legs and upper body. So Monday you do upper body, Tuesday you can do legs, then Thursday you go back to upper body, then Friday you do legs, and then go back and forth. This way you can you won't overtrain. You'll do, when you do upper body, you can do, you know, you can do a variant. You can do bench press, rows, you know, arms, triceps, you know, biceps, triceps. And that's it. You can kind of like just consolidate your volume into that just one session. This way you won't do an hour push, then 2 days later do an hour pull. Now you're doing 2 hours on your upper body, you're putting a lot of pressure on your shoulders, and then doing legs. So the two-day split prevents that. You're doing an hour upper body, then you're going an hour legs 2 days later, or a day later, whatever. So those are options you can look into. There's also 4 day, or, you know, 4 day splits or 5 day splits, where you're kind of, that's another option too. So Monday you could do chest, Tuesday you can do shoulders, Wednesday you can do legs, Thursday you can do arms, Friday you can do back. You see what I'm saying? So you're kind of alternating your muscle groups. So those are different ways to do it versus doing, you know, full body workouts every workout, which I don't think is going to be your best option, because, you know, really you're not putting in the volume when you do that. If you're doing full body, you're not really focusing in on one muscle group at a time. So those are different split routines to look into. Matt, what do you have to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, you covered off most of the main ones. I think you can look at, what are you going to train together on the same day? So the other option is to train opposing muscles. So Monday you do back and chest together. Tuesday you do biceps and triceps together. Wednesday you're off. Thursday you do shoulders. Friday you do legs. Then you're off again. You could do it that way. The other one, and we talk about this a lot for beginners, is the 5x5. Very effective. And you have 2 days. You have an A and a B. So you pick 3 days a week. Say it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This works great for beginners. This is how you'll get those beginner gains, and you'll put on mass and get strong really quick. So you only have 2 days. on your first, like your A workout, you do squats, you do bench press, and you do barbell rows. On your B day, you do squats, you do overhead press, and you do deadlifts. And that's it. So there are other exercises you can add into this. You can add in pull-ups and you can add in dips, but those are the core exercises right there. That's it. You can base an entire workout on those five exercises. You squat every time you work out. So you got squats, bench press, overhead press, barbell row, and deadlifts. And that's it. And you do five sets, five reps, and you increase strength accordingly. That's an extremely effective workout. So if you're, even if you're just, you know, not a beginner, you can run that for a little while just to do something different. It'll help you get stronger on your, you know, your core compound lifts. And it's something new. It breaks up the monotony of doing the same crap all the time. You know, like, I don't know about you guys. Like, I love training, but training does get boring too when you're doing the same thing all the time. So whatever you can do to switch it up now and then is going to be beneficial. And, you know, that might be one. The other thing I recommend you to do is just, you know, look up all these guys that put programs out. You know, there's tons of them, you know, the Jim Stepanis, the Chris Gethins, all those guys put out all these different training routines they want you to buy and follow and everything. Just look at them and pick things out of there that you like and create your own routine and just try something different. You know, whatever split it fits into, try different exercises to keep it interesting within that. But there's no perfect workout. You know, there's nothing that's going to be better than the next one. Just switch it up, and as long as you're busting your ass and you're not in there texting and talking on your phone, like, go there to work out, do what you got to do, go home and eat, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah, so we got some viewer emails. Matt, what do you have for us tonight?
Yeah, I got one today, and this one, he kind of just wants to know a little bit about us as hosts. So he says, hey guys, I read a lot, and I hear a lot of your advice, and it's all really good. You guys seem to know your shit. I just want to know, how did you get started being on bodybuilding forums, and how have they evolved over the years? So that's kind of cool. Like, yeah, bodybuilding forums, it's a different world. You know, it's not the day-to-day guy that goes to the gym and goes home and eats and whatever else. It's, you know, it's time consuming, but you learn a lot on there, right? So, I mean, for me, I got started on forums when I was probably 16 because I wanted to learn about steroids. That's why I started, because I wanted to learn about these things and, you know, if I should do them at 16 years old or not. So, I mean, I was on there, you know, doing what research I could. I mean, when I was 16, internet wasn't nearly what it is now. Like, we were still dialing up on AOL, and, you know, it really wasn't, there wasn't as much information as we have now, but that's kind of how it started. I mean, the first one I really followed was bodybuilding.com, and that's when they had all, you know, you could talk about steroids and everything else like that. So, I mean, that's kind of where it started for me. And I really liked it because, you know, I like to hear from people that have experience and have done things. You know, yeah, you don't know if everybody's telling the truth, but when you read enough, you put a lot of it together, you can kind of figure out what's, you know, true and what's the bullshit. So I like to know, you know, especially the older guys, you know, I like to hear what they've done in the past and, you know, what's worked for them. And I really like to hear when guys would post up, you know, the mistakes they've made, because, you know, I don't want to make mistakes. You know, if somebody did something and it caused issues, I don't want to do that. I want to avoid that at all costs. So that's kind of where I got started. I mean, the forums that I'm on now, I'm there because I'm kind of on the second leg of my journey. I'm the one trying to help people like when I started, because I've been doing this a long time and I've made the mistakes And I don't want to see people get hurt, and I want to see people have fun and get big and look good and get lean and, you know, whatever their goals are, get women. So that's kind of where I've, you know, started from. How have they evolved? They've evolved a ton, you know, because there's so much regulation now is the first thing, you know, that comes to mind. You used to be able to talk about whatever. Now, you know, depending on where your website's based, what can you and can't you talk about? And I mean, the other way they've evolved, and this is the biggest piece, is the way that people buy steroids online now. They get, like, literally, you can just go on a forum and it's not that hard to figure out how to buy steroids. It didn't used to be like that. You know, the old school guys will tell you, you had to go to the gym, you had to earn the respect of the big guys in the gym, and then eventually one day you'd have the balls and you'd have, you know, enough, I guess you'd have enough clout in the gym that you were, it was okay for you to talk to them about it. And they'd help you, you know, they'd point you in the right direction. Now, because of these forums, this is the way, you know, that and it's good and bad, right? Because now kids can just come on there and buy steroids if they want to. So that's dangerous, you know. But, I mean, that's the way I've seen it change over the years. Steve, you've been on the forums, you know, years longer than I have. How'd you get started off? What was your first forum that you joined when you were a newbie?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, just seeking information. And when I first went on the forums, God, back in those days, people were assholes. Like, people were really rude and, you know, a bunch of beta males who like to bully other people. So that's why I like the Evolutionary and Elite Fitness forums, is we don't allow that shit. You know, you come on, you have a new question. Look, we were all new at one point. And there's so much free information now available too. There wasn't back then. So you'd have like a handful of bullies, you know, on these forums who they don't know shit, you know, and they would just bully everyone else. And it was kind of their way of, you know, their way of kind of feeling good about themselves, I guess. So it was kind of dumb the way the forums used to be. So some forums are still like that. So, you know, that's why I like the forums here. We're positive. You got a question, you come on, you read, do your homework, ask questions. You know, that's what it's all about. So, you know, that's how I got started. And I kind of worked my way up to where I am today. And I'm with you, Matt. It's all about helping people. You know, we want to help people. We want to spread knowledge. We want to learn. We want to get better. Every day is a learning experience. So fitness is one of those things that's constantly evolving. And 5 years from now, we're going to know a lot more about things. 10 years from now, we're going to know a hell of a lot more. So as long as we keep evolving, we'll definitely get better at it. So story time is coming. So let me go through a story. Basically, this was a story when I was living with a girl. And her mom came into town. So Matt, you know, you're married, so I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. When the mother-in-law comes into town, you got to kind of roll the red carpet and make her feel welcome. So I went to pick her up from the airport. She's like from New York, you know, Italian type, you know, from Long Island or some shit up there. So, you know, I meet her there. She's like, you know, I'm like, hi, you know, hi, I'm Steve. You know, nice to meet you. It's the first time meeting her. And she's like, who the hell are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm her, you know, her boyfriend. I'm picking you up from the airport. She's like, where's my daughter? She was supposed to be here. I'm like, well, she's at work still. So I'm here to pick you up. You know, we're going to go meet her, you know, have dinner. So whatever, we go have dinner, whatever, we come back to the house. So I'm showing her the house. I'm like, you know, this is gonna be your room for the week. This is your bathroom, you know. And then she starts walking around the house. She goes into the master bathroom, and she's like, this is so much bigger. I want to use this bathroom. It's so much bigger. And I'm like, well, this is the master bathroom, you know, and that's the guest bathroom. She's like, no, I'm using this bathroom. So I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is gonna be a long fucking week. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a couple days later, I, I'm noticing, like, there's, like, hair, like, on the sink and on the toilet. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So, like, a couple of times I walk into the bathroom to grab, like, my razor. And she's standing there on top of the toilet. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I'm like, oh, shit. So she slams the door in my face. So then I tell my girlfriend, I'm like, you know your fucking mom? You know, she, like, pees while standing up. So my girlfriend's like, why are you looking? And I'm like, fuck, what, you think I meant to look? I fucking walked in there and she was there. What the fuck are you talking about? You think I wanted to see that shit? So, like, the next day, I come home from the gym and my girlfriend's at home and she is pissed. So, like, right away she comes up to me and just fucking smacks me right in the fucking face, knocks me over. I'm like, what the fuck is your problem? And she's like, you son of a bitch, you've been cheating on me. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I fuck have I been cheating on me? She's like, I just came from the doctor and I got crabs. And I'm like, whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute. How the fuck do you have crabs and I don't have fucking crabs? I'm like, you've been cheating on me. You've been cheating with those motherfuckers down the street. You know, don't tell me I've been cheating on you. So then the mom walks in. She got, like, this bag with her. And she's like, what the fuck are you clowns fighting over? And I'm like, your daughter has crabs. She's been cheating on me. And then she's like, no, no, he's been cheating on me. So the mom's like, she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, she's like, she opens up the bag. She pulls out, like, some stuff for crabs. The mom had crabs. Then when I was seeing the hair, like, on the sink and the toilet, she was actually shaving her pubes and using the toilet. So then my girlfriend used the toilet and she got the crabs from her. So that's what ended up happening. So that's kind of a funny story, but that just shows you, you know, having to deal with a mother-in-law. Have you ever had to deal with an angry mother-in-law, Matt?
So you didn't bang the mother then?
Ah, fuck. I mean, let's go with a no on that.
That's where I thought the story was going. Either you banged the mother, or when she was shaving her crotch on the toilet, she used your razor. That's where I thought we were headed, but Jesus Christ, man. So it's kind of funny. My situation's actually the opposite. So because of my – I know if you guys knew me, you know, in my personal life, I'm very, very, very low-key, relaxed, chilled out. I'm very likable. That's just my personality, right? Like, I don't come across as, like, the alpha male gym, whatever. Like, that's just not the way that I, like, that my energy is or whatever. So my wife is an only child, and her mother are both very, very strong type A personalities. So they have this love-hate relationship, and, her parents are divorced since she was little, like 7 years old. So it's the two of them, right? So that's kind of the way they grew up. The mom, like, she's really strict because her daughter's all she had. She wanted her to be perfect and, you know, not corrupted and everything else. So because of that, you know, the daughter, well, my mom's too strict. I'm going to do whatever I want and rebel and all that. So they love each other, but they hate each other in the end. So, early on in the relationship, there's a bunch of times where I had to, like, mediate fights between them. Literally, they would blow up and they'd cry and go to separate rooms, like when we'd go visit. And then I'd have to go in one room and talk to the one that's crying and then go to the other one and talk to her when she's crying and try to put it all together and whatever else. So honestly, like, that's, I don't have any, I've never had any bad interactions, really. The only time it was really awkward was we were building a house, and we sold our house that we were in, and the house was closing before our new build was going to be done. So we had to go live with her for a few months in the meantime. And that was extremely uncomfortable. Her mom's like a clean freak, so you couldn't do anything, right? And like, I got kids. Kids aren't the cleanest animals, right? So you couldn't do anything without feeling like, oh my God, is there like a fingerprint on the table? Like, you were constantly worried about every little thing. And like, we don't live like dirt bags or anything, but it was just, you know, this overwhelming feeling of somebody's watching and everything has to be perfect all the time. So that was uncomfortable, but you know, other than that, it was fine. The father-in-law, he's really, really easy to get along with. Kind of weird, but you know, not anybody that would ever say anything to me or be negative or anything. Like, pretty easy to deal with. So I've had it pretty lucky, I guess, as far as in-laws. And my wife and my mom are basically friends. You know, we're about three and a half hours driving away from each other. And, you know, they'll make trips together to go shopping and do girly things that girls do. And so that's good. So, yeah, no, I've been pretty lucky, I guess.
That's really sweet, Matt.
I thought you were going to say something about Canadians, and then I was going to remind you that I'm not – well, I am Canadian, but only for a few years.
All right, guys. Well, that is the show. We had a full show tonight. Join us next week. We will have more topics. Keep the emails coming. Thanks for listening.